The scripture reading for this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This is the word of the Lord.
Those words were printed in the bulletin, and below those in the bulletin are some other words that I call your attention to in the beginning today. This is underneath the passage in the bulletin that has the text. Follow along while I read the passage underneath it. We have sought to enter into the glorious praise of our God this morning, but it has not been new things for us. We have known. We have heard. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. We have known and heard that he will not grow tired or weary. We've been overwhelmed by his wisdom and understanding, and we realize his majesty is beyond our power to conceive. We know that, don't we? Is it very likely there are atheists in our midst? So why do we doubt him? Why do we complain? And what do we need to hear God say to us today? He will help us to do the extraordinary. He will help us keep on keeping on. He will help us in the ordinary course of everyday life. Praise the name of Jesus. I remember being advised as a preacher. First you tell them what you're going to tell them, then you tell them, and then you tell them what you told them. And that's the three divisions of a sermon. And we've already done that in this reading there. Tell them what you're going to tell them. That's what we're going to say. We're going to turn to do that in the passage that we've read from the scriptures and focus our attention there. And in the course of things, we're going to look first at the challenge that God gives us in this passage. Secondly, at the reassurance that he gives us. And third, at the promise that he gives to support us in our struggle. Look at verse 28, and then we'll ask the Lord's help as we pray. Look at verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our hearts have thrilled with the truths that we've sung and the things we've heard and the scriptures that's been read. And we know that these things that are not brand new to us. We've heard these things. We've known them. But we know we've not always remembered them. And we've often doubted them. And as you challenge us, even now in this word, with regard to our lack of faith and our doubt, oh Lord, we pray, will you help us? As you give us these words to challenge us, would you make our hearts open to challenge and willing to hear and to believe and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. Will you do these things for us? Isn't this what you purpose to do in your word? Isn't that the reason you've given it to us? Is it not your purpose that we see Jesus and that seeing him, we are drawn to him? Lord, we desire this morning what you desire for us. And we pray that you'll give your Spirit according to your promise. Take the things of Christ and lift them and lift us with them and enable us to benefit from this gathering this morning. We've come to enjoy fellowship one with another, but we've come far more to fellowship with you and to learn of you. And so we ask your blessing upon us today and that you'd help us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We look first at the challenge. Just follow the passage today and look at the challenge that God gives us in verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? We ought to notice the two names that God gives us here. He says, O Jacob, he calls you Jacob. And you know, that's one of the most wonderful things in the Bible, when he calls his people Jacob. Because Jacob was not a very good man. Jacob was a man full of failure and weakness. Though important in the purposes of God, he was not this great example of wonderful faith. He had many children, but he had great turmoil within his families. And he had enmity among his children, and he was not a very good father. And he had one son that he especially appreciated, and he spoiled him. And he set up a situation where the son had nothing but difficulties and trials, and the son became a far better Christian than his father had been. You might look back at Jacob's life and say that you're glad for his faith, but you see it as faith that is struggling in the midst of much weakness and many foolish and harmful and sinful things. Not like his son, Joseph, shines forth in wonder and beauty. Joseph was a far better Christian than his father was, and God calls us Jacob. He doesn't say, oh, Joseph. If he said that, I couldn't embrace that. I'd say, how can you call me that? Well, I'd recognize the grace of God that looks at me as if I were as good as Joseph was, but no, he calls me Jacob, and it reminds me, and it reminds you, that he looks upon sinners who love him. Twisted as they might be, and inefficient as Christians as they might be, and misguided as they might be, and even wrong as they might be, God loves them. It's a commitment that he continues to have. And God is willing to say to us, he is the God of Jacob. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that encouraging to you to know that God looks upon you, seeing all your flaws, seeing all your shortcomings, seeing all your failures, and loving you, and committed to you, and appealing to you? He calls you Jacob. When we see him here calling us Jacob, we ought to be wonderfully encouraged by the fact that he even used that name, and it made us feel included in the people of God. But he used the other name, Israel, and that reminds us of the honor that is ours. God has made us children of Israel. Through faith in Christ, we're children of Abraham, brought into Israel through faith in Jesus. We are his Israel. And what a blessing it is to be the people of God, to be a part of such a company, to be included in the great company of believers that God is gathering to himself, a nation that he's made to the glory of Jesus, that he's worked on throughout all the history of the world, been working to build and establish this great kingdom that he has in mind to glorify Jesus. And we're a part of it. And yes, we're Jacob in ourselves, but what a privilege to be included as Israel. Well, we can look this morning as sinners saved by grace, thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us of all sin, thankful for the Spirit of God that helps us to want to serve him and to live for God, and included in a company noble beyond anything we can imagine, because it is designed by God, pulled out of the whole realm of mankind to glorify and praise the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Even as we see God addressing us, we are encouraged and thankful. Are you a part of that company? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? It mentioned in what we said at the beginning, there aren't likely to be any atheists among us. I can't see why you'd be here if you were an atheist. But it's possible that people come to a gathering of God's people and they're not born again by the Spirit. They come because of family, they come because of associations, they come because of just the interest of going, and they like hymns and they like it, and come for reasons that even they don't understand. And there could be some in our midst today that have never come to know the Lord Jesus, never been born again by his Spirit, whose eyes have not really been opened. You like many things about the church, but your eyes have not been opened to the glory of God in the face of Christ. And he's come, he's brought you here this morning for you to be challenged. So I stop in the middle of the message, not waiting till the end and give the appeal of some kind, but now, are you one of those? Born again by the Spirit of God, eyes open to the glory of Jesus, concluded, sinner though you be in the people of God, that God loves, and gathered into that great company that no man can number, being gathered by God for the glory of Jesus. Are you one of those? Welcome to this assembly of God's people today. What a blessing it is for us to be there. And God speaks to us. He's speaking to Christians. So obviously he perceives something in Christians that he challenges us. That's what this is. This is a challenge. And how does he challenge us? Well, the challenge is, well, look at it in verse 37. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Can Christians think that? Don't they realize the implications of that? You're saying because you didn't get what you want, God is not God anymore. He's not omniscient. My cause is, my way is hidden from God. Do you really believe that because things don't go your way, that God is not omniscient anymore? It changes the very character of God. Could it be that he's ignorant? Could you actually, because you didn't get what you wanted, think that God is ignorant? He doesn't see this. Of course he must see it. I mean, he should see it. And if he did see it, well, here's the next thing. Not only that he didn't see, that you're thinking of God as though he is not God, not omniscient, or you're thinking of God as if he doesn't love you. Can you think that? Can you really be tempted to believe that God doesn't love you? My cause is disregarded by my God? He knew I was here. He didn't care. Could you think such a thing? I mean, a Christian, somebody who recognizes his sin, has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, included in that great company, and yet when I don't get something that I want, actually think that God is now ignorant, that God is now not loving? Could I think such a thing? You know, God thinks I could think such a thing. And he challenges, why do you think that? And that's what we do this morning. We say, why do you think that? Do you really want to say that God is oblivious to something? Do you really want to think that he doesn't love you because of the fact that you didn't get what you wanted? What does that sound like? Doesn't that sound like the enemy himself who says, hath God said? You will not surely die. Didn't the enemy begin with Eve to make her question whether God knew or whether God had other motives, or whether God really cared? Isn't that the work of the enemy? When we ask, why do I think those things? Well, we ought to feel wrong for doing that, but maybe we ought to realize where that comes from and what that says. God is not God. Something you've known about him wasn't true. He doesn't care. Well, I would suggest that that is something Christians can struggle with, and God thinks it's something they struggle with because he's spoken to Christians when he said, why do you say, O Jacob? And complain. Christians complaining. God is sovereign, working all things after the counsel of his will. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. He purposes everything to conform us to the image of Jesus that we may shine forever in bright glory. That's the God that we complain about. And when he uses a means that we didn't like to accomplish his perfect end, we complain. Why do you complain? Why do I complain? Why? Does God cease to be God because I didn't get what I wanted? Well, God would have us that brought before our minds. He's asking the question. He's not being mean. He's not saying, shame on you for this and I'll get you for your sin. He's not saying that. He's saying, why do you do that? Because he wants you to think it's foolish to do that. God is everything he said he was. And he is working according to his will in the circumstances of my life. And he hasn't given me what I want for a purpose. Because he loves me. He hasn't withheld it because he doesn't love me. That sounds like the voice of the devil himself. He's withheld it because he does love me. And God wants me to know that. He doesn't come on strong. Maybe I'm coming on too strong in terms of the thing because I mischaracterize the wonderful tenderness of God who is pleased to say to us, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. There's the reassurance that we need. When we're tempted to listen to the wrong voice, the reassurance is God has not changed and his love is not in question at all. And there's a purpose in God's dealing that we may not understand because his way is higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. We may not understand, but we ought to rise in faith to trust him. He's not changed because we didn't get our way. So useful to maybe that's a little phrase that wouldn't hurt to have sticking in our mind. God has not changed because I didn't get my way. Might be good just to remember that. That's not exactly biblical language, but it may be good. I think it's a biblical thought. God has not changed because I didn't get my way. Maybe the next time you don't get your way, say, God has not changed because I didn't get my way. That's really what God's saying. Why do you question? Why do you doubt? Jacob, Israel, why do you question? You know, this is written 700 years before the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah thought that he had reason to believe these things and looked in faith to the salvation that God would provide. In many ways, he saw the person of Christ in an amazing way. And some of the passages we'll look at, we'll see how he saw the suffering servant. He saw the one who died for us. He saw the one who took upon himself our sins. He saw what God did by faith. And we see it so much more clearly because we live 700 years. Well, 700 years later, Jesus came and fulfilled it all. And we live 2,000 years later and look back and see the fulfillment. We understand so much better than Isaiah did. And we remember the words of Paul. If God spared not his only begotten son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Isn't that even more clear? And the Bible becomes clearer and clearer. And history displays its clarity more and more. How clearly we see what Isaiah saw by faith afar. We see it. And so God says to us, Jacob, Israel, haven't you heard? Don't you know? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Oh, may the Lord bring those thoughts to our minds. The thoughts that reassure us that God is God, he is not tired, and he knows a great deal more than you do. All this should humble us. We should feel a little bit of shame for our selfishness and pride. We should just quiet ourselves and hear what God says. His strength goes to the weary. That's the ones he gives strength to, the weary. You know, sometimes we haven't gotten help from God because we're not tired enough. Time and again, we do it ourselves. We push and push and push. Well, even we have jokes sometimes about the fact that, well, you're finally praying. Oh, did it get that bad? You failed completely. Now you finally pray. But don't you sometimes do that? You do it and do it and do it. And then the time you pray is when you can't do it. That's the one he gives strength to. And you think, shouldn't I have started praying? Shouldn't I have prayed at the beginning? Why should I wait until I get desperate and I'm totally exhausted and can't do anything and now I'm going to pray? Well, God says God knows you'll do that. And so he says he gives strength to the weary. You know, maybe if you're not getting the answer to your prayer right now, maybe you're in that situation. God could have brought somebody mysteriously into our midst who's facing a circumstance that God's pointing at exactly. And maybe you haven't heard God's answer because you're not tired enough. You're still doing it. You still got strength to manipulate. You're still trying to solve the problem. You're still working at it. And you're not going to get any help from, well, you're going to get very, very little help from God until you're weary. Well, he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What are the poor in spirit? It's a person who realizes I have nothing within myself. And isn't that a blessed time when I really am at the end of my rope? I have nothing. At the end of your rope, why'd you hold so long? Why didn't you pray before? Well, you've had those circumstances in your life where you've realized, I should have started praying a long time ago. When I did pray, I found some help. And I realized God answers the prayers of those that are weak. My weakness was my strength. That's what got me to seek God. Well, those things happen, and God knows they happen. And it's wonderful to say he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So do you feel weak today? Oh, well, you're one that God intends to increase your power. Because you're weak. Your weakness is an argument with God. It's not that your weakness is an embarrassment, so you got to go to God. Your weakness is an argument to God for undertaking to you by his grace in a powerful way. Now, I have no idea how that might apply to individuals, but I know there are times in my life where it would have spoken to me. There's times in my life where it would have helped me greatly to be reminded that my weakness was not something to be embarrassed about, and to be almost ashamed to come to God because I have to confess it. No, my weakness was God's intention that I might come to him. And so I need to come and realize that he gives strength to the weak. It goes to the weary. It's to those that have no strength. Wonderful. He says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. And then he gives the wonderful promise. So with all my strength, I can still grow weary, and with all my ability, I can stumble and fall. And God knows all that. And it's that context in which God says, why do you grumble? Why do you complain? What a wonderful encouragement this passage is. Perhaps very encouraging to the person who needs it right now in a special way. But you can remember times where you've needed it and God has been pleased to help. Beautiful passage. Why do you say, O Jacob, complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. And then the promise comes. Well, it's wonderful to see the context of the promise that he gives. And the promise is given to us in such glorious language. We see an eagle mounting. The hymns we've sung, the ones that you shall, he bear you up on eagle's wings. There's beautiful and wonderful pictures of power. But that isn't exactly what he's talking about when it talks about being caught up with wings. Not exactly talking about some dramatic experience that happens to us. I remember years and years ago having some group from a preacher down south somewhere who had a new shtick that he was trying to market. And the people involved with him were telling people. They came to the church where I was. And the thing that he particularly said, this one guy, that God gives you power. Now that might have been something he saw the preacher do or something. And so when he was witnessing, he said, God gives you power. And that always struck me. God gives you power. Is that the kind of power God gives? He gives you power. I mean, this guy was kind of dynamic. He probably trying to pretend to be like his dynamic preacher. And I look back on it now. I laughed at it then, but I look back at it now and I laugh much more at it, because he's telling everybody, this is the power. What does that mean? God gives you power. What does that mean? They wouldn't really tell me at the time what they meant by that, but now I look back, I say, that really seems silly. God doesn't give that kind of power. And when he gives an image of mounting up with wings like an eagle, he's not taking us for a glorious joyride. That's not what God's doing. God's not wanting to call attention to you. Look at me, I'm flying. God's not doing that. He's had people mount up with wings like eagles, and it didn't look like that at all. It was far more wonderful than that. You know what I couldn't? Well, I'm preaching to a local congregation who knows one another. I saw a lady who mounted up with wings like an eagle. What I'm thinking about is Ruth Hoffman. 5 kids under 5, and her husband dies. Before the welfare state that we're in now. 5 kids under 5, and your husband dies. That woman rose to the occasion. Became a hero. Always be a hero to me. She raised the kids, and you know what they turned out? Well, now a couple of them were killed in an accident, and there's terrible grief that she went. She didn't have happy times. It wasn't all happy. But it's wonderful what she did. And I always look back with admiration. And though there's elements of the other things that he mentions that are not the mounting up with wings as eagles, but it seemed to me that's what he's talking about, being in an impossible situation and rising above it in the most remarkable way that you're just astonished. Well, there's one person that comes to mind. There may be others that come to your mind, people that were up against very difficult things that you couldn't handle, and he raised them above it and enabled them to handle it and to press on. And you may have others that come to your mind in a wonderful way, and God has done that. And that's what he's pointing to there. He's not talking about drama. He's not talking about something everybody is oogling at what they're doing or gossiping with one another, how glorious they look. I don't think she wouldn't have wanted anybody to be amazed how glorious she was. And she certainly wouldn't want me to speak about it in that way. If she were here today and not in heaven, she would... not want me to say, she wouldn't want me to say such a thing. But she'll always be that to me, and there may be others that are that to you who have mounted up with wings like an eagle. Glory, wonder, but not flashy, not like that. I don't think that's the kind of power she had at all, but she had power. And that's the kind of thing God promises to do. Are you in a situation even right now that you need that? Well, God knows you're weak, but you're a child of God and you're part of his kingdom. And he tells you about his power, and he says what God can do. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. Well, there's one element of what he will do, but there's a second element of what he'll do. They'll soar with wings like an eagle, but he also helps people keep on under great demand. There are people that have great demands that it seems like they couldn't do, but they have to do them. And instead of falling on their face, giving up, they keep on. And you've known people too who have kept on. And not just kept on walking, it deals with walking here too. Wonderful, even that power comes from God. But run and not be weary. Now, of course, not grow weary. The people that I know that have run the most under the most weight, I can't say they never grew weary, but they constantly sought the Lord and they kept on. And you'd think they never got tired because they go and go and go. And that's what he sees. Well, that's strength that comes from God too. And maybe you're in that situation, you know, or maybe somebody that happens to listen is in the situation where demands are there and you have to do it. And you have to keep on, and you're not strong enough to do it, but God somehow helps you. And it's not just get by, it's actually keep doing what you have to do. Well, that's where he's talking about running and not being weary. It's as if you're just going and going. You're like the Energizer Bunny. You don't stop. You keep on. And maybe you're in a situation that the pressures that other people don't know what you're under. But you know what you're under, and you know how weak you are. God just helps you. And you don't get any great glory for it. He gets the glory. You don't get the glory. But you keep on, you keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on, and you keep on. And it's not just walking and getting there. It's carrying a load. Well, you can probably think back to people that you have encountered that have been that way. They've just kept on. They press on. They keep battling. Keep on. Well, that's what he talks about, is running and not being weary. There's a second way in which God strengthens you. Do you need that incredible strength to mount up in an impossible situation into the glory of Jesus? Do you need that? God gives you that. He knows what you need. He gives you that. Maybe you just need to keep on in a difficult course. You're running. You wouldn't mind stopping, but you can't stop. And you keep going. And you run and run and run. And it's God that helps you do that. Everybody doesn't have to bear that kind of burden and keep running in that context, but you do. And where you do, it says they'll run and not grow weary. But it's wonderful, the last one. They will walk and not faint. You just continue day by day in the ordinary course of life. It's got to be more than 50 years ago. Well, it probably... No, maybe not. No, I was married then, so it wasn't. So let's put it at 40. It's a long time ago. I went to a Pine Brook conference and went partly because J.I. Packer was speaking. Now, I understand J.I. Packer. Is J.I. Packer still alive? Does anybody know that he died? I'm always amazed he's still alive because he seemed old to me then. And 40 years later, and just amazing how he's still going. But I remember him speaking on this subject. Those three things, mounting up with wings and walking and running and not being weary and walking, not being faint, he spoke on those. And you know, that message has stuck with me ever since. And especially the last one, walking and not being faint. I remember him talking about walking being such an ordinary thing. One illustration he used is if you went to the mall and people are all walking here and there and you don't notice anybody, but if all of a sudden somebody's running through the mall, everybody's eyes on the person. That's the unusual thing. The ordinary thing is walking, which you don't even notice. Everybody does it. And that's the way in which God helps you, in the ordinary things. It doesn't get any attention at all. It's simply what you've got to do. But it's your normally purposeful. You walk really for a purpose. You walk to the store. You walk somewhere to get something. There is such a word as stroll, which you're just taking time and using your energy, but usually you're focusing and you're doing something. But it's no big deal. It's ordinary. It's walking. It's the ordinary way of getting around. And yet God helps you in the ordinary ways. Ordinary, everyday things that have to be done, God helps you. And you do them to his glory with his help. And God, the great God of heaven and earth who created all things, is pleased to help you walk day by day. Get from here to there. Accomplish what you have to do. Do your chores. Get your things done. God is pleased to do that. And I remember being blessed by that. Blessed because I'd love to think of being, of soaring in wings like eagles, especially if somebody saw me. But at the time, I'm getting better at that. But running and not being weary, that's harder. Hope that I'll be able to do that. Walking and not fainting. I need that. And God gives you strength to do that, you know. The God of heaven and earth helps you to walk and not be weary. I think that stuck in my mind maybe because I believe the first sermon I heard after becoming a Christian was on this text. I was in Central Hall Methodist in London, and I didn't know any other Christians, so I just found a church. Went to the church, and it happened to have a person speaking that day that believed. And it was this message that mentioned, not in as good a, powerful a way as J.I. Packer did, but he mentioned the three kinds of help God gives. The extraordinary help. The necessary long-term help. And the ordinary help. And he gives it. And it's all to his glory. And we look to him and say, Lord, thank you for doing this. It's a wonderful picture. And God gives that picture to us to reassure us and to remind us when we're tempted to badmouth God when he doesn't do what we wanted. How can people that are helped in such a way, that are loved in such a way, that God manifests himself in such a way, how can they then complain when things don't go their way? God says, why do you do that? Why do you say, oh, Jacob? Why do you complain, oh, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. Did God lose his omniscience because you didn't get what you wanted? Why do you complain? My cause is disregarded by my God. God doesn't love me. If he loved me, he'd do this. Doesn't that seem silly to say, if God loved me, he'd do this? I may have mentioned before, because it was funny, another thing years ago, there was a book for teenagers, supposed to appeal to them. I'm not sure who wrote it, but the name of the book was, If God Loves Me, Why Can't I Get My Locker Open? Well, it was meant to get the attention of kids. But you know, a kid can wonder if God loves them because they can't get their locker open. And where does that come from? Hath God said, you will not surely die. God knows that such and such. It's the same voice. And God says, why do you listen to that? But he doesn't come at you and blast you. He asks you. And maybe we ought to ask ourselves, why do I do that? Why do I think, because this happened, because I didn't get my way, why do I think that God is not omniscient anymore? Because I didn't get my way, why do I think that God doesn't love me? He who spared not his only begotten Son, but delivered him up for us all, that with him I should receive all things, he goes on to say. And he's not going to hear me? Well, that's the challenge that God gives. And the wonderful thing is it's a tremendous reminder to us that God gives glorious strength in extraordinary crisis. God gives steady strength to keep me moving at a high speed, or God gives me ordinary strength to meet the ordinary need to the glory of Christ. So, what do you need today? What kind of strength? Is there anybody here that doesn't need one of those kinds of strength? No, I don't think there's anybody that doesn't need one of those. Some might need one of the more spectacular ones, but it's not going to be something that'll cause everybody to look at you and say how wonderful you are. It's not mounting up like that. It's not power. It's another kind of power which is greater, which you may need. And God wants to assure you today that he'll give that strength if it's needed. And he wants to assure you today that if your strength is just to keep up with this that is overwhelming and more than I can handle, and he gives power to run and not be weary. Well, I am weary. Does it stop you? No, it hasn't stopped me yet. Okay, then you're not. And so that's a reminder that God can do that. And then also the ordinary. Do you need the ordinary today? Do you need God's help to get from here to there? How about those list of chores you've got? Do you need God's help to do them? Oh, no, they're just ordinary. Really, just ordinary, so you don't need him. He thinks you do. He needs you to pray, Lord, give me what I need. Lord, I need you. Pastor quoted the Lord's Prayer in his prayer. My daily bread, I need from you, God. Forgiveness, I need from you. Ability to forgive others, I need from you. Didn't Jesus want us to pray that way? Didn't he want us to feel that? And so you need the Lord today. And I need the Lord today. And all of us need the Lord today. And we will be tempted by the enemy to say, God doesn't know. Or to think, God doesn't care. And we need to realize where that voice comes from. And God doesn't blast us for that. He says, why are you asking that? Why do you do that? Why do you say that? Why do you feel that? God didn't change because you didn't get your way. It's not that God doesn't love you because you can't get your locker open. Come on. Well, let me read the passage again and ask the Lord to help us to embrace that to ourselves according to our need today, or to use it to fortify us in whatever else he has to bring in our lives. What terrible needs will there be? What demands will there be? Well, you know, as far as ordinary life, there are demands. What other things? God is sufficient for those things. And God sends these words to comfort us that he will be what he's always been to his people. The people Jacob, those who he knew were not perfect, or to Israel, those whom he set his love upon for his glory. We're part of that. Well, look what God says to us. Why do you say, O Jacob, complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. May God help us to embrace these promises and love him for them. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you remind us that you know how messed up we are and how prone to wander we are and how many ways in which we're not good examples of faith. But we thank you, Lord, that you have been pleased to call yourself the God of Jacob. And we're humbled by that. Lord, that you care about the likes of us. You've also called us Israel. And what an honor you've given us that you've made us a part of your people. We bless you for this, O Lord. And we do confess the times that we have doubted your character because we haven't gotten our way. We recognize there are times that we have thought you didn't love us because you didn't give us what we wanted. Oh, Lord, forgive us for this. Help us to pour out our hearts. Lord, we've wanted to be strong, and so we've worked it so hard at being strong that we haven't really asked you for help. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Help us to recognize that you give power to the weak. And Lord, the times that we seem to come to the end of our rope and didn't know what to do. Those that have no strength, you promised help. Lord, would you speak to some today that hear these words, where it speaks to their heart, and give them comfort and help by your Holy Spirit. Help us to have these words to give to someone else, that we may encourage them in order that you will bless and continue to bless your word. We're encouraged by the fact that your word will not return into your void, but will accomplish the thing whereto you send it. Lord, as you've sent it to us, accomplish it in our hearts and enable us to send it to others and accomplish the same in them. Bless us, we pray, and encourage our hearts and continue with us and help us. And may Jesus Christ be praised. We ask it in his name. Amen.